I have a message for you. The Lord, your God, sees you. He hears you. He knows your frame, your strengths, your weaknesses, and he loves you. This week, as I read through this passage, thinking about the people of Israel and their response to God, I had a lot of different emotions. When you think about how God proved himself over and over and over, faithful from the plagues that ravaged Egypt, but didn't even touch the Hebrew people, to the parting of the Red Sea for them to pass through on dry land. Dry land, ladies, it wasn't even muddy. And I think that there is probably a spiritual point to that, in that when we keep walking through this world, it's muddy. And when you walk through the mud, your feet get stuck and you start slowing down and you're wondering why. But if you look down and you see that, you spray your shoes off and try to get to dry land. And that is how it is with the Lord in the spiritual realms. We sometimes start walking and we suddenly find ourselves stuck in the mud. But he is there to just wash us and clean us up so that we can keep walking freely from that muck. God showed his command of nature and utterly delivered them. So it's kind of hard to fathom how they continued to focus on the things of the flesh, really. So let's take a few moments to read through these passages. But this morning I wanted to start in chapter 15, verses 22 through 27, because it really has some information that's important for us. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" The human response, "What are we going to do?" And then Moses cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log and threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. So we see a contrast in the people of Israel's reaction and Moses' reaction. And what God delights to do is to take us from being the people of Israel to being people like Moses, who cry out to the Lord no matter what. And we know that in the beginning, Moses didn't start out with that kind of faith. He had quite a conversation with the Lord, but God met him and he received what God gave him. And that's really, really important. There, the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. And there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." God was telling them that he was the one that was in control when they were in Egypt, and he was the one who had protected them. So he was the one that they needed to turn their eyes to and walk with. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. And I thought that that was so, it's so like God. You know, they're not finding any water. He still provides for them. And the important part of that bitter water and the wood thrown into it to sweeten it is the fact that we live in a diseased and bitter world. It affects all of us. From the moment we are born, we know the walk of sin. And it's only as God provided the tree upon which Jesus hung that the sweetness of life can be fully known. And so then, as like an exclamation point, he takes them to 12 springs. Remember how many tribes there were? There was a spring for each tribe, and they didn't even have to share. And it was cool, and they encamped there. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. So we're talking about 5.5 weeks, maybe, because this is the second month. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel. And it says the whole congregation. So it would indicate that when one starts grumbling, it spreads. And the whole congregation grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out in this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And it's kind of hard to fathom, and we think, how? Why? Well, we are just like that. We often idealize what was back in the past, forgetting its hardship and its slavery. And we grumble and complain because we are looking at life and its circumstances through the eyes of the flesh. But the thing that really, really grieved me was how they responded. God had shown himself abundantly faithful, but 6 weeks later, here they were grumbling again. Listen to these words. "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full." I felt such grief at that statement. They looked back. Not only did they forget their hardships, but the very hand of the Lord that had delivered them, had sheltered them, had protected them from all of the plagues, the hand that God had given in blessing, they were now accusing. "Would that we had died by that hand." And that shows that they had no understanding. There was a disconnect between what was happening and the God that was caring for them. And what was God's response? "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gathered daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord said to Moses from that cloud, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" So in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall eat, each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. And when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. And some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms, and it stunk. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. And on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all of the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside until the morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. And Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none." So the Lord blessed them with quail meat in the evening and manna in the morning. The blessing came with instructions, which were to be a testing to see if they would walk in those laws or not. So in the midst of their grumbling, the glory of the Lord appeared to them in a cloud. See his grace and his mercy. And the food in the evening and morning were to be given so that they would know that God was the Lord, their God. So we're going to stop there for just a second and look at the manna and how it was supplied daily in the morning. And they were to eat all of it that they could. And then if there was any left over, to get rid of it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We know that in John 1, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we have the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And that is a reflection that dates us back, that connects us to the Hebrew people in the wilderness. The Lord knows that as we walk in this place on earth, and sometimes there are very specific wilderness times in each one of our lives, but as we walk here in this world, it is like a wilderness. And sometimes we can lose our way. God told them, get the manna, eat it every morning. Jesus was the bread of life. And so it really undergirds the need for us not to try and rely on Sunday's message to carry us through the week. What happens is after a day, we forget about it. And maybe we start questioning it, and the worms and all of that get smelly, and we are not fed as we need to. We are to come morning by morning to receive our manna for the day. He tells us, who of you can add 1 minute by worrying about tomorrow? Today has enough struggle in it. So receive from me what you need for today. And then don't try to rely on today's portion for tomorrow, because tomorrow will have new opportunities to trust in me, to follow me, to share my life. But, and that's a very, very specific application. But I still was dealing with my grief about how they could talk to God and just thought like that. You know, really and truly, I was just crushed. And I said, why? How did you do that? And he took me on a little journey. We know, he asked me, how many people were on that journey in the desert? Thousands. We know there were thousands. And there were young and old and mothers and babies and husbands and grandparents. There were a lot of people to provide for. And he reminded me of my own journey through the wilderness. How insecure and alone I felt as a young wife when we moved from Oregon to Texas because Evan was in the Air Force and we had no family to lean on. My fearfulness as the mother of small children while Evan was away on temporary duty assignments, which was often. My fretting and worries about if I would be able to stretch the food we had until the next paycheck, begging that God would heal my sick child and not take them away from me. He showed me how he had allowed me to experience great need, but he always knew how he would meet those needs. His purpose was not to destroy me or to kill me, but to build my faith, to build my story of his faithfulness, which would one day be used in planting hope and faith in the lives of others. So God's purpose in this journey for the Israelites was to write the story of his faithfulness on the hearts of the people he had chosen so that they would know his love and know his provision and choose him back, so that they would be a light and a testimony to the nations. Remember, it had been some 430 years since Jacob had journeyed to Egypt, and things had been very quiet spiritually. God showed me clearly that it takes time to build faith and to learn the language of heaven. And that's what his purpose in that wilderness journey for the Israelite was all about. Now, we will see as we go through that they utterly rejected him. But he also uses that to speak to us, and I'm not going there right now. But his love and provision right now, his control, are continually met with resistance in the people. And how often are we in that same place? Meeting the concerns of life with fear and a hold it. As God is drawing us and calling us to a deeper faith and dependence upon him. One other thing that I saw clearly as the Lord was speaking to my heart was the contrast and ugliness of our sinful nature and what it exhibits as compared to the holiness and purity of God's response to us. When we are totally crestfallen, when we are stamping our feet, no, I don't like this, I don't want to go there, he responds with love and mercy. He doesn't strike us with the lightning that he, you know, could. And I saw that all of these characteristics that God was trying to show his children, his love, his mercy, his steadfastness, his patience, his holiness, his purity, his response of grace to gather them in, each one of these things were emulated in Jesus as he walked this earth. They were mirrored as he walked the road to Calvary. Now, we have talked about how the manna God sent was his provision to feed and keep the people healthy while they were on the journey, and it represents the bread of life. Jesus, who was given as God's provision to give us life, just like he wanted to give them life and use them as a testimony to the nations. So that's what he wants to do in our lives. The way that we stay healthy, again, is to feed on the word that became flesh, and daily building that relationship to God that Jesus came to restore. Just as God gave the law to give life, but instead we become aware of just how impossible it is to be perfectly conformed to the law, how fully sin has taken us captive and we don't even know it. Then we see Jesus given to restore life and relationship with our Heavenly Father. Through Him, we are no longer bound to sin and death. That's what the deliverance from Egypt was to say to those people. I, the Lord your God, who loves you with an everlasting love, have delivered you from those harsh taskmasters, and I want you to walk freely, acknowledging me, for that is the purpose. It is for freedom to love and serve God that Jesus sets us free. And he calls us, in Galatians 5:1, to stand firm, therefore, and not to submit again to a yoke of slavery. So this morning, as we are thinking about the Hebrew people and all that they experienced, and we're tempted to say, how could you do that when God so delivered you? We need to remember God's patience, His love, His character, and respond to that rather than the circumstances that we are in. He is faithful. And are you taking the time to recognize and remember God's faithfulness? Or are you, like the Israelites, hanging on to the past and looking at circumstances, missing out on the wonderful provision that God has made in yours and my behalf? And it's very interesting to me. Let's turn just to Matthew 6. Some of the very specific things that Jesus said spoke directly to the things that the Israelites were struggling with. Do not be anxious. 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He knows. And just as God knew the struggles that would consume our lives here on this earth. And if you think about it, what do most of us spend time doing? We work to make money, to provide food and clothing, and to take care of the place we live in. And a lot of times, we think that has to be much more than it actually needs to be. And so we work longer hours so that we can make money, so that we can eat and clothe ourselves and add to our recreational activities. And it's not that in and of themselves these things are bad. They're just things. But when they take our attention away from the Lord our God, it was so important that Jesus went back to the wilderness and he addressed those issues specifically. And just as God kept calling them, look at me, I am your provider. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom, and then all these things will fall into place. And the other part of that is that while we are seeking the Lord and falling on our knees before him and crying out to him, and that was the one thing. We saw the contrast. The Israelites looked at people for deliverance. Moses was looking at God. God wants us not to stay stuck with our eyes on what somebody else has or does, but to have that vertical look. And as that's happening, he conforms us to his image, and his life, his desire for each one of us comes to pass. Father God, we just come before you this morning. We just thank you so very much for your word and for the truth that it imparts to us. We thank you for the people that have gone before us, who have walked through the wilderness leaning on you and have come through as shining diamonds to share your life with us. Lord, there are so many things in this world to distract us. And we know that we fall short of your glory all the time. Even as we sing this morning, we want to come and give our lives to you, to lay them down for the promise of new life. We would ask that even as you appeared as holy fire in the night to lead the Israelites, that you would take that holy fire and cleanse us of anything that takes us away from our trust in you. Lord, that you would strengthen us to face the struggles in this life with our eyes on you rather than the struggles. And to look confidently that in your time and in your way, you make all things beautiful. That all things work together for the good of those who love you and are the called according to your purposes. And Lord, what that requires of us isn't that we do anything except love you and pursue you. And then they will work together for good because we are loosening them into your hands. Lord, I know that there are many here this morning that are weary and heavy laden. You've told us to come to you when we are in that place, and that you will give us rest. But we have to open up ourselves to receive from you, to receive that rest. And so this day, Lord God, we pray that you would take our anxiety We thank you, Lord, that you have the provision already, and in the perfect time, you will give it to us. Lord, we know that even Paul said, I do not do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, because sin is living in this flesh. But thanks be to God, you have given us Jesus Christ. And when we find and realize that we've fallen into that trap, that we might fall on our knees and just give it back to you. Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.